This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
Great to have you, David. Thank you so much for joining us once again for our monthly get-together and chat. Yes. And I know you will sort out everything that we face, although it is nearly apocalyptic on every level. But anyway, I'm sure you can bring some light relief.
I'm just waiting for the asteroid of death to hit. I have to say, I did post this earlier, shortly, about an hour ago. I was out getting a pizza carryout, and I was served by someone with pink hair and, of course, wearing a mask. And I looked at them, and I looked at the sky, and I thought, we need that asteroid to hit and hit hard. So anyway, there we go.
Well, I think Russia said we'll be put out of our misery in a matter of seconds. So then we could all leave this world behind.
Yeah, but don't worry about that. We've got Liz Truss. She is going to be like a superhero. She's like Captain Marvel, and she's going to fend off all the incoming hypersonic missiles. I put my total confidence in the Johnson regime, like most sensible people.
Thank you, David. I suddenly feel much better about the world and life general. So thank you for that. That helps considerably. Now, you can find David, as you know, at David Vance on Getter, on Gab, on Rumble, also Alt News Media. You can also follow at Alt News Media and also on the website. So do go make use of that. And David is a prolific social media poster, either on Getter or Gab. So those are the two best places to go. So let's jump in, Dave. I was going to start on COVID. Let's talk. I don't know if it's more depressing Northern Ireland. Let's start on that. Both from Northern Ireland, we've had elections. I didn't even cover local elections last week because it was just so pointless. But this was an interesting story from Northern Ireland, and it lets our viewers know what exactly has happened on the elections for the Assembly. This headline was Northern Ireland election 2022. Kelly Armstrong left physically sick by abusive images. The abusive images were images of children, of babies that had been killed, that had been aborted. But BBC, two things I found interesting. The BBC said they were abusive. Well, if they're abusive, maybe stop abusing the children involved and stop killing them. But again, this comes from a politician who, I guess, thinks abortion is good, is positive for society. So I don't know how she was physically sick by something she enjoys or thinks good.
Well, I mean, that's what surprised me. This lady, Kelly Armstrong, recently elected last week for the so-called Centrist Alliance Party. Spoiler alert, they're not centrist. Her party and she and her leader, they support full-term abortion for disabled babies. So, you know, I'm wondering, hang on a second, Kelly, you hypocrite. You're left sick looking at images of the consequences of the actual policies you support. Now, I'm sorry, you know, that is, sending people images of aborted babies is obviously, you know, it's one of these things, but it's a reality. I mean, it is a reality. And what sickens me, never mind what sickens her, is this political hypocrite. I'm physically sick when I listen to and read the grandstanding hypocrisy of individuals such as this and the party such as this. And actually, Northern Ireland, apart from, I guess, the DUP and the TUV, are full of parties which are 100% up for, you know, yeah, let's support the babies. Let's kill the babies. Just don't show the images because it's not nice. It upsets the voters, you know? So,
And of course, Northern Ireland is not, nothing's happening because the Sinn Féin, the IRA, the ones that blow people up because they don't agree with them, are now the ones in charge. Glad I'm not in Northern Ireland with a terrorist organization now in charge of dishing out, justice in the country.
Well, I mean, yeah, so we don't actually have a functioning government, but I see that as a big plus. I'm delighted about that. I don't want to have a functioning devolved government. I don't want a devolved government. I'm really clear in this one. I want fewer politicians with fewer powers and less government. But at the moment, Sinn Féin is saying to the DUP, you've got to get around the executive. You've got to get into the executive. You've got to make things work. This is the same Sinn Féin, Peter, who, as you know, do not take their seats in Westminster because they don't want to make the place work. So again, the stomach-churning hypocrisy of the political class, one of the things that, you know, the media never want to talk about, but it's there. And our job is to put this out and, you know, let people take their own view on it. But certainly, yeah, a non-functioning assembly, because of the fact that there's this Irish Sea border. The DUP made it clear on their manifesto that if they were elected, they would make sure that that was taken care of. So over to Boris. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see. Let me just bring in one or two comments. I should have done that at the beginning, but you're all late in your comments, so hey. Michelle Bicycle on D Live, Evening Free Thinkers. Good to see you all on D Live. Nanny Annie, hi everyone. Hearts of Oak on D Live. Patrick Mehemen, hi Pete, David, and all on VK. Great to have you there. And let's jump over quickly and say hello to those of you on Getter. Status 77 says, oh, boom. Well, that was us starting, I guess, and not anything else. His always Vicky, good evening, guys from Florida. Great to have you from the Sunshine State. Chris Davis, 33. Good evening, Peter and David. Good evening, Chris. Tommy AU, Evening Legends. That's for Dave. David Vance is a legend, of course.
It's not a legend.
Unchucks, hi, David and Peter. Republican rocker, David rocks. So thank you so much for your call. Keep dropping them down the side. I don't always get a chance to bring them in, but it is, I do go back to them after and read through them. So thank you so much for those. Of course, this is a very troubling moment, David, with COVID. There are two sad stories, and our thoughts and prayers obviously are with the Chief Health Officer from Victoria. And also our thoughts and prayers are with Bill Gates as well. And this is the note that the Chief Health Officer in Victoria has posted. I'm down with COVID, feeling pretty rubbish, to be honest. Razor blade throat and painful cough. Clearly not the same for everyone. Can't imagine how it would have been for me without three doses of vax. Good on science. David, after 2 years, they don't get it, do they?
That was a classic one, wasn't it? And hashtag winter is coming as well.
Yes.
Maybe it's going to be that, you know, that winter of death and misery that Joe Biden was promising us last November in the Northern Hemisphere. I mean, this is hysterical stuff. I mean, but I actually think it's just psyops. I probably don't believe that he has. He may have it, he may not, who knows? But the fact of the matter is, he doesn't get it. And they all say the same thing, don't they? They say, you know, I can't imagine how much worse it might have been had I not had the third jab. Here's a random suggestion. How about if you hadn't have had the third injection, you would have been fine, you absolute clown. You're people who corrupt their bodies, inject the experimental gene therapy, then act, I can't believe why I'm not feeling so well. And he's chief scientific officer for added lols. So and then yes, Mr. Bill Gates, that much loved figure who not only is he a number one scientist, but he's an expert in all things. But he's tested positive despite the multiple jabs, and he's got mild symptoms, but as it says there, he's following the experts' advice by isolating. Well, I agree. He should isolate for the rest of his life. He should stay the hell away from bothering us and trying to, well, do all the globalist stuff that he's very much up to his neck in the background. But yeah, these guys have no shame. You know, they have no shame. And it's always, Peter, if you notice in their tweets, it's essentially the same tweet that they write. It's feeling blah, 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 and could be worse. I'm thankful for the jabs. So this is essentially, to me, this is them continuing to try and groom the population. Get, you know, because the thing that comes out of all this is, you know, always the same. Listen, guys, you just need to keep taking your regular updated jabs. But listen, If you've taken them, you clowns, Gates and this other guy, and you've still got it, then that's saying to me, either, you know, either the vaccines don't work or there's something very wrong with you. This is not a declaration of, efficacy and so on and so forth. They've got the thing that they're vaccinated against, so allegedly vaccinated against having, and they're shameless about it. They're all shameless. The scamdemic after this point in time, this is why we can't be on YouTube, is it's overt. It's there. And, even our own wretched government, I think, Peter, in due course, will follow down this route of, I think I did put out a couple of posts earlier today about B.4 and B.5, the sons of Omicron, which are apparently now widespread. They're very, very bad, very, very serious. They got down South Africa, and guess what? Apparently it's big in Portugal, and it's coming everywhere for the summer. And they actually think people, sane, critical thinkers, are going to take this seriously. Your right response, Peter, you just laugh at it. Lols. Is that what you think, guys? Actually, though, the only people that they might make ill is the people who, by that point, will have had their fourth jab. I can't help people that stupid. I'm sorry. This was an IQ test, and some of you failed it. Some of us passed.
And I love the one of the comments he makes in the post to say, I'm fortunate to be vaccinated and boosted and have access to testing and great medical care. Basically, I'm rich, and for poor people, I don't give a damn. What level of arrogance and hypocrisy? So,
yeah, but they're all the same. You know, the medical officers in all the countries, they're all the same. I think they're just trying to spin this one out. Because it's obviously, it's interesting, Peter, because that Australian one from Victoria State, it is coming into the Australian winter.
Yeah.
So I always think it's very useful from our point of view, us people in the Northern Hemisphere, watch what the games are playing down in the Southern Hemisphere. Because come, October, we're going to be going to the same place. So, it's good to watch them, but it's insane stuff, and God knows what Jacinda Ardern will do if somebody even so much as sneezes in New Zealand. I dread the thing. Maybe what we're seeing in China, you've seen this stuff in Shanghai, this incredible lockdown and this sort of horrific, imprisonment of people. Yeah, that's where we were in January 2020, and we ended up in a similar scenario. So watch what happens in the Southern Hemisphere now, and then let's see what happens here this autumn when we begin to enter our autumn and winter.
A really good comment by D. Scratch says, yes, but the experts didn't isolate. They held parties.
Yeah, but they didn't know. But to be fair, Peter and D. Scratch, but they didn't know there were parties. There's That's no true. One can say Boris Johnson may have been at parties and, Sir Keir as well, but they didn't fully understand that when you have a gathering where people are drinking and having a good time and dancing on tables or whatever, that's apparently a work do, Peter. Did you not know that? If so, no. If not, you haven't been working in the right circles. Every meeting I've ever been to all my life, people were drinking, dancing. Yeah, that's how it was. Totally, totally true. For cereal.
But David, they didn't know what it was because they were so blind drunk, probably. They didn't know.
Boris should maybe use that as a potential defense. Yeah.
someone spiked his drink. So anyway, let's move on to another great story from Exposé News. And I love the sites that kind of we've come across during this time that have sought to speak truth and sought to go through the data and actually tell us what it does say. So this was May the 13th. 41,500 people died within 28 days of COVID-19 vaccinations in England, and a further 291,000 died within 6 months. Now, if you just stick to the 21 days, because 21 days was the figures the government used on if you had COVID and after 21 days, so those were deaths due to COVID. They refused to give the same figures for deaths due to vaccine, which obviously means all those deaths and COVID, utter nonsense, because you apply the same guidelines across the board. But this is between 1st of January 2021 and 31st of January 2022. So basically over the, well, 13 months.
Yeah.
41,000. That should be front page on every single newspaper, shouldn't it, David?
It should, but we have no honesty. And in fact, and the reason is, if you scroll down, Peter, if you go down a little bit, because those are raw top line numbers. So, you know, you can see the raw top line numbers. And some people will say, yeah, but that's understandable because after all, you know, most people have been, 80% of the population's been jabbed. So, you know, you'd expect 80%. But I think where it gets really interesting is if you keep going down a little bit, and then this site is really good, keep going, yes, here we go. And this is where then all the mist and all the diversion is taken away. Because this then is when you adjust the deaths, you standardize it per 100,000. And as you can see, you know, I mean, it's really quite shocking when you see there that the fact of the matter is, I don't know if you can zoom in, but basically in the red bar in the middle there, Peter, you've got, I think, there you go.
Genius.
You know, a technological marvel. 70% of in terms of the standardized mortality rate is people who had 21 days category. So there's something seriously wrong here. There really, really is. And this site's really good because what they do is, you rightly observe, Peter, is they go into the raw data, which, by the way, the government is kind of more or less trying to stop, as it said, yeah. It has stopped a lot of it going out. They don't want to see in this. But when you look into the figures, all, you know, is there a motivation there to take a jab? And I would say, no, there's definitely not. You increase your chances of dying if you take COVID jabs. And that's a conversation we should have. And maybe that's right, and maybe that's wrong. The figures suggest that it's right. However, our rotten, corrupted, bought media don't want to do that. So this is, I mean, this site I know is has been hugely censored and whatnot, but they've got the data. I totally recommend anyone watching this, Peter, and whatever channel, should, you know, bookmark the Daily Expose and just read some of the stuff they put out. I cover it quite a bit because I like data. I am data driven because that way it's harder for people to dispute what you say. Mm-hmm. And so they pull the info, they dig into the tables, and then, and I think this is something that Mark Stein put out in GB News, I think it was last night. He was taking basically some of the work that they have done and which Toby Young has used over at Daily Skeptic. And it's basically showing the fundamental truth that we must not speak, and that is that after like a week or whatever it is, a couple of weeks, the efficacy of the Pfizer jab drops to less than zero. Not zero, less than zero. And, you know, I mean, worst vaccine ever. And yet we kind of have honest conversations, you know. Someone could come on perhaps and explain why that is. Never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And that's why I guess some of us, you know, are called conspiracy theorists, because we're saying, well, you know, there's enough there in those charts, Peter, for at least a conversation, but that conversation won't be happening. Although, to be fair to GB News, strangely, they've allowed some people to suddenly now say, yeah, look, there's questions here. So hats off to Mark Stein, a good guy, by the way, a big fan of Mark for a long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. They're on screen, expose-news.com. That's where you should go to, guys, to get some really good data, which blows the lid, you know, lock, stock, and two smoking barrels.
Do, and they're great to drop into conversations with people and watch the reaction you get. But Mark Stein's been brilliant. Neil Oliver has been brilliant as well. I've followed Mark Stein for a long time, and it's interesting to see how he's fitted into that new position of GB News. He was banned from the country, I think, before and things. But do you know what? Because I'd read that he was now being investigated by Ofcom because of stuff he said.
It's possible.
They're really going to come for him because they won't allow that to be said.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that, but am I surprised? No. That's why, for example, over on talk TV / talk radio, and Sergeant Major Julia Hartley Brewer of the 1st Ukrainian Resistance, never at any point, I mean, say, oh, with the vaccines, yeah, I've had two, you know, I've had two. Oh, they're awfully super duper good, but I'm a bit of a rebel. That's because she and the rest of them over there, all of them over there, in fact, are all scared senseless of Ofcom. And as you know, Peter, and this is something, you know, that I'm sure viewers will understand, under the government's plan, somebody says Julia Hartley Brewer is my favourite. I think I've gone on about her too much. Oh, my God. But never mind. There you go. Tough. The Ofcom, which is the government intends that Ofcom will regulate the internet as well. So yeah, if you think it's bad with talk radio, talk TV, which it is, and you see a little bit of light over in GB News, and I think if Ofcom get involved, Peter, they'll snuff the light out. And then when they've done that, and if the government gets what they want, they'll come after you and they'll come after me, because they'll say, oh, hang on a second, your internet provider, you shouldn't be allowing this misinformation to be broadcast, even though we're discussing opinion and fact. Can't allow that. It's it's where we are.
I couldn't believe how bad talk TV was. I've watched it for, I think, 5 minute slots. And it was just so bad. I even watched the thing of Piers Morgan interviewing the Taliban, which, of course, that's normal. God forbid you'd have Tommy on or someone.
Yeah.
But it's just so bad. So
yeah, it's absolutely grim. The only thing is, I was pleased that Donald Trump took delight from the fact that Piers Morgan's ratings fell faster than anyone could imagine in the intervening couple of weeks since he did the setup interview with president, you know, the president. So I was pleased about that. But yeah, it's awful, you know. And I don't know what Murdoch's game is, but to me, it's just a big nothing. And you know, there's people that I used to respect, like Mike Graham, for example.
Yeah.
You know, he was good enough on things like Brexit, but he's fallen into line and he's talking about, oh, you know, I'm not going to entertain conspiracy theories and stuff like this. So yeah, it's worthless. But then most of the mainstream media is. The only thing that's useful is things like Hearts of Oak and other platforms that do their best to provide people with a diverse set of challenging views, and you know, but I think that's why they're going to come after people like us, I think.
Exactly. And you with giving your new stream. So yours is similar to Jack Posobiec in the States, the amount of stuff he puts out. I think what you do here, David, is on a similar scale of depth and breadth and regular posts. So Yeah,
Jack's a great guy. I mean, he and I followed each other back in my Twitter years. So a guy I've got a lot of respect for. Also a guy with very good connections, as you probably understand. Oh, yeah.
I just see on Getter someone has Tatiana Ostrakova, Ultra MAGA. Good to see an Ultra MAGA there.
We're all Ultra MAGA.
We're all Ultra MAGA.
I'm super dark MAGA. I'm beyond Ultra MAGA. So, I mean, as I put out, Peter, we're evolving. 2016, we were MAGA. 2022, Ultra MAGA. Just wait to 2024. That's when we assume our final form and vengeance comes.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
So, this is, again, stories that no one knows why things are happening and no one will ask any questions. Yeah. So here we have in the Daily Mail, 13 more children fall sick. This was on the 12th, so on the Thursday. 13 more children fall sick with mystery hepatitis, bringing UK total to 176, as Ireland says one child has died from liver disease of unknown origin. And 350 cases of severe hepatitis of unknown origin in children globally. They put that actually together. They put severe hepatitis of unknown origin. That's what it's called. It's not just hepatitis. And again, David, God forbid anyone would begin to ask questions about, well, what's changed medically over the last year and a half? What have people injected themselves with? And ask some questions about that.
No, you're right. But I think I know the reason. I think it's climate change. I reckon climate change is driving this hepatitis breakout in kids. If not, probably Putin. And if not probably Putin, then we'll have to find another reason. But the one thing we mustn't suggest is it's got anything to do with the fact that we have been giving out experimental gene therapies for the past, since December 2020. So there's nothing to do with that whatsoever. It's nothing to do with the fact, for example, that pregnant mums who Pfizer knew shouldn't get it, Peter, from their own information leak, which we've now seen, Pfizer was saying, yeah, this shouldn't be given to pregnant women. And then they said, yeah, let's give it to pregnant women anyway. And so there's that. And then, of course, the media has been running cover for this one as well, because the media is saying, oh, but look, you can't say it's not a vaccine. Why is that? Because it's in kids 5 years and younger, say. So they, so it definitely couldn't be them, except if they've been born in the past 2 years. But now I see, I think it's in that article and another one I've seen, they're now saying there's a small number of kids aged 10 and above who are also showing the mystery severe inflammation of the liver, hepatitis, 10 and above. At the same time as the British media is weeping about the fact only 7% of parents have sacrificed their children to Moloch by taking them along to get the jab. So, you know, this is awful stuff. It's basically, I look upon it as child sacrifice, child abuse by parents who, I'll tell you, honestly, a true story. 2 days ago, I was in a shopping center near me and they have a drop-in vaccine center in a vacant store. And, you know, I was wandered past it and there was the two things. First of all, the person in reception must have was like a sumo wrestler, about 30 stone, obese, lots of health problems. They were the person ushering people in. And then I seen a mom with her daughter, and her daughter looked like, you know, if she was 11 or whatever, that would have been probably the top of it. And I seen them, and, you know, my heart broke because how can you do that? And then, of course, the government now wants to drill down below that age group, you know, the 5 to 11s. So when you read about these stories about the mystery hepatitis and that Irish instance, you know, where child's dead, I mean, that's a family have lost their kid. But I don't know what more I can say other than, listen, you know, you really should not be allowing your kids to be laboratory rats for Pfizer, AstraZeneca and the rest of them. But you are. And so, yeah, I'm conflicted. I'm brokenhearted when I seen an image like that in that real life story the other day. You know, when I see it, and I thought, well, what can you even say? And probably nothing. Maybe it's Darwinism. Maybe in a harder moment, I think, well, this is tough now, but I'm going to say it. You know, maybe the human race is better if we remove such weakness from it, because this is not strong genes. This is awful. But there again, I'm so sorry for the kids. So there you go, Peter. We don't know what the reason is, but probably climate change.
And of course, David, I mean, you mentioned one or two things you mentioned there where it says, the UK Health Security Agency said it was also probing a small number, in inverted commas, of suspected cases in children over 10. Again, David, who knows if we're being given information, we're being given figures, the government have given this to the media to put out for a reason. None of this is about news and informing us what's happening. All of this is with a specific agenda, which you've learned from COVID. So then you begin to wonder, well, what is this about? Why are they putting it out? So here they show where all the mysterious cases of hepatitis. It's like, it is like a movie. And then the hepatitis warning signs, number one, dark urine and pale gray colored poo will not go any further. So there you go. Check your poo. And then it goes on the states where hepatitis have been detected. But again, you tend to think, well, what's the reason for putting it? Is it just fear? Is it just telling us, well, actually, just as well you had your 4 or 5 jabs, because imagine what it would be if you hadn't. So make sure and get number 6. Maybe it's that.
I think, Peter, it is. Fear's always there. But in this case, I also think it's hard for them to cover it up. You know what I mean? At this point in the game, and this is what we're seeing, and we've seen it through 2022 since the ever so convenient Ukraine situation arose. The information's coming out. You know, truth eventually, I think we both believe ultimately the truth does prevail. And so So we see about from the Pfizer leaks, we know what's been going on. We know the efficacy is less than zero. And we know that kids, young kids, are dying, and some of them are getting this mystery hepatitis. We know all this now. Now, okay, you might say, well, that's just, you know, us and just those who are awakened. But then we keep pushing it out as well. So I think they do this to counter any prospect of a normie suddenly thinking, well, why has my daughter, you know, why has my 8-year-old, 9-year-old daughter got this hepatitis? And of course, if you go to a doctor, they're going to say it's definitely super duper not to do with the vaccine. So yeah, you know, we got to keep pushing, and that's what we're, you know, that's one of the things that I like to do and challenge them in this one here. You know, there's no real, it's mystery. There's no mysteries. It's obvious.
There's not. And Andrew Oldsworth on Getter said, what about the outbreak of monkeypox? That's a whole other, again, yep. What the hell is this? It's not going to. But then, of course, don't worry, because Biden, in all his wisdom, maybe if Hunter was doing it, being the smartest person on earth, he would be able to help with some of those press conferences. But Biden has said, don't worry, COVID wave this fall could infect 100 million, U.S. warns. I would scroll down. The Biden administration is warning the U.S. could see 100 million coronavirus infections and a potentially significant wave of deaths this fall and winter, driven by a new Omicron subvariant that have shown a remarkable ability to escape immunity. This is the Omicron one that they said was a cold, a sniffle. But now, does that mean 100 million people will have sniffles? Is that bad? I don't know.
Well, you see, there's two agendas here, isn't there? This is all part of the, you got to get everyone jabbed, you got to get the mask mandates. But the other thing is, look at the timing. This autumn, 100 million Americans could suffer from this, you know, the deadliest pandemic known to man, just before the midterms. Well, imagine my surprise at that one there. That might mean, for example, to keep protect life, people have to do, you know, the proverbial postal ballots, the 2,000 mules, or is it 54,000 mules? They're going to be kept busy if these guys get their way. So I look upon this as it's double-edged sword. Keep the COVID fear going, which is what they want to do. Lots of money to be made from Big Pharma. But at the same time, Peter, probably more worrying is they want to corrupt the midterms, because it's the only chance the Democrats have, you know. So I saw that 100 million number. It's always a nice round number. But that's being done. That's propaganda. It's being pushed out there. They're doing it now in May. And then just watch over the summer months and the deadliest Omicron, which is essentially the sniffles. Like at this point, I think even Bill Gates said it was more or less like the flu. I mean, they're laughing at the people who have taken this. They're saying, yeah, it was the flu, but we had to lock you down and we had to give you three jabs and we had to give you COVID passports. We had to do all that, but it's a sniff. It's the sniffles. But now we have it, 100 million. Another winter of death and misery in the world of Joe Biden.
Get rid of him, my goodness. Crazy Americans haven't got Biden in. Here's a story that I read on David's Getter post, and I thought, maybe David's gone too far. Maybe he's misunderstood. Maybe he's got the wrong end of the stick. And then I went to check it out, and no, it is true. I missed this. Sadly, in my transgender men pregnant Google feed or whatever, I had missed this. So this is the it is true. Calvin Klein hit with criticism pregnant transgender man campaign. And David, you'd put a link somewhere, I think, but I came across this Unilad because it is one that is read and popular amongst a younger part of society. And here they have, despite pregnancy. So first of all, a pregnant transgender man. This is Mother's Day. This is now Mother's Day 2022. Maybe Russia does need to send that nuke very quickly. And then this is the lie, Dave, that I could believe. Despite pregnancy being increasingly common amongst transgender men. What? What? In what?
Well, so, you see, that's true. That's true. Pregnancy is very common amongst transgender men because another name for transgender men is biological women.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's not that big a surprise because everyone knows the only people can get pregnant and have babies are women. Oh my God, did I say that? Yes, I did. But this is, I mean, the image that, you know, yeah, Calvin Klein, we embrace this platform. You see, look, Donald Trump summed it up really well. Everything woke turns to you know what. And this is wokeism and, you know, over extremely expensive underwear, which indulges this kind of mental insanity, is stuff you just don't buy it. Don't buy it. Don't give them your money. Don't allow these woke corporations, Peter, to take your cash when what they do is they take it and then they indulge in this. Which, you know, like I have to say, I just saw it somewhere on the internet, on the interzooms. But, you know, young people are more impressionable than, let's say, people, tired cynics like me. So, you know, this has a degree of influence, especially in the most youngest people. And this insanity, as you say, it's full-on asteroid of death material. And yet, there it is, right in front of you there. Yeah, pregnant transgender man campaign. And if you look closely, someone pointed out to me, my eyesight, I didn't notice it, but if you zoom in very much on the
I'm not zooming in on that. I don't want to see any more.
No, you don't. But if you do, someone points out that the individual on the left-hand side there has had a mastectomy. So, and because there's a scar. So, look... Look, I don't want to stigmatize anybody in particular. People can do what they want with their lives and with their bodies. I think self-mutilation is not maybe a great plan, but, you know, knock yourself out if that's what you want to be. But when a corporation of the size of Calvin Klein take this, Peter, and pump this kind of nonsense out, then that's when we have to sort of send the alert out. And the best alert is don't buy Calvin Klein. We've come a long way. Who was the guy that advertised Calvin? Was it Calvin Klein? Way back in the late 80s. Nick, what's his name? He was Nick Kramer, I think he was. The reason I know this is he was very famous on TV in the late 80s as like a model for, I think it was Calvin Klein. I think that's what it was. Oh, one of these brands anyway. And when I got married in that year, he was on the flight out to Hong Kong with me. So I've always, he died recently, mind you. I'm not sure what he died of, but I'm just going to leave it hanging there. Maybe someone wants to Google that. I think Nick Kramer is his name. But anyway, moving on.
I see. D Scratch says it makes Monty Python look like a documentary.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. And my apologies to any women watching. If you go to bed tonight and dream that you wake up next door to your man and he's pregnant, so it's a nightmare. So just don't worry.
Seek help. If you think that, if you're a female watching this, seek help. You got problems.
It's David's fault for putting this thought in your head and posting this awful, awful news story. And this is the problem. This is why we've got to this stage. This is American conservative. Let me bring it up. Yeah. Teachers trained on injecting gender ideology into science maths class. Yeah. Pre-K-12 teachers were trained by National Science Teaching Association to introduce gender ideology to their classrooms. They were also taught how to refer to students by their bodily functions in order to be a better intersex ally. I'll not even read it. It goes on. I don't want to read the rest. But yeah. Again, it shows that this is ideology-driven. This isn't just something that society has stumbled upon. This is planned and pushed, and the government want full control of our children to push this ideology.
Exactly. That's it. You've summed it up perfectly there, Peter. I mean, this is indoctrination, and they're using the classrooms like laboratories to push the pernicious gender ideology. I mean, science classes should be about science. Maths classes should be about mathematics. It should be about empirical, fact-based information. Gender ideology has nothing to do with it. But you're right. The people behind all this, they simply look upon this as, look, we've got a classroom with 30 kids sitting there. So what a brilliant opportunity to, you know, introduce them to the world of pronouns. So whilst they may not be able to, you know, tell us what the square root of 49 is, they can tell us that they've got multiple pronouns. Z, zer, zay, or whatever such like. And so, yeah, it's the corruption of education, which has been going on a long time. Like, honestly, I remember going on about this so many years ago, way back in the day, where Melanie Phillips wrote a brilliant book called, All Must Have Prizes, about back then in the 90s, the corruption of education. But 25 years on from that, and we've got this, the gender thing. And again, it speaks to the first story as well. It's about the corruption of young, impressionable minds, which, you know, as a parent, as a father, a grandfather, I have huge issues with.
Well, this is a story about the white knight that was coming to rescue us and may not happen. This is Elon Musk. He says his deal to buy Twitter is on hold. Elon Musk says he is putting his bid to acquire Twitter on hold weeks after agreeing to take the company private in a $44 billion deal. Twitter deal temporarily on hold, penciling details supporting calculation that spam fake accounts do indeed represent less than 5% of users. And Musk is claiming it's 10 to 15% of users. So I guess, David, we probably weren't putting all our money in this, but I think some others were, and it mightn't actually turn out how people had thought it would turn out.
Yeah, but it's a story that keeps giving, isn't it? I mean, it's a brilliant, it's a soap opera, a brilliant soap opera, this one, in terms of what Musk is at. I mean, I would have thought that the number of spam accounts, fake accounts on Twitter is more like about 90%, never mind 10%, based on my experience when I was over there. But I suppose, like, I've thought a lot about this story, and I've listened, for example, to Jason Miller's takes on the Getters over in the Getterverse, and I can see different angles in this one. I suppose if I was in his shoes, Elon Musk's shoes, and you're very lucky that I'm not, because if I was, I can tell you, with all those billions, what mischief could I do?
You can dream tonight, David, don't you worry.
You do due diligence is obviously part of the process. So if you are buying an entity, which Twitter is, and that entity is 10% fake, 15, 20% fake, you know, the price that you pay should reflect that. And again, Peter, this is something that others I notice have talked about. And it's in the week before, first of all, when the news emerged that Musk was going to buy, we saw some very strange things happen on Twitter. We saw left-wing accounts like Barack Obama, for example, he lost 300,000 followers. Which is like a remarkable number, and others as well, Hillary Clinton. So all of a sudden, these left-wing individuals lost loads of followers, and then some right-wing individuals who are still on it, and I always, you know, have to question that. But anyway, they're still on it. They were gaining. So were Twitter in the background, you know, had the alert gone out, right, lads, scrub the lefty bots? Because I do think Twitter, over the time when I was on it, it morphed from being a general free conversation space to being essentially a left-wing swamp. Yeah. But I think that was Twitter that potentially made it like that, by manipulating, by bot forms, all of this kind of stuff. So is this a fact? I mean, I'd love to talk to Jason about this, because I know he thinks that it was an over-leveraged deal, which I also understand from a financial point of view. It could be that as well. But I don't know. I mean, if I was buying something, you know, you wouldn't buy a house on the basis that 90%, only 90% of it can be lived in. You wouldn't do that. So why would you buy Twitter if 10% or more of it? So I noticed Musk came out today and said they're going to do a rando check of 100 random Twitter accounts, and he's urging other people to do so as well. Mm. And there's another account called, I think it's a bot. I saw this dot bot. bot detector or whatever. I put a post out in this somewhere. That they also reckon, Peter, that the number might be between 10 to 15 to 20%, in which case you're not going to spend $44 billion on that. You're going to spend a lot less. So is this just good business negotiation? And remember, if Musk goes away, walks away, as Donald Trump said, it's going to cost him $1 billion. So a billion's a lot of money to pay just for a vanity exercise. So I don't, the truth is, I don't know. It's fascinating. I do take huge pleasure from the salty tears of leftists on Twitter thinking, oh God, they're going to let them all back. Just could you imagine what Twitter would be like if Musk did buy it and if he did allow back people like Trump and other undesirables such as myself and Katie Hopkins and some of the rest of us that were booted off the platform. But even if we never did anything on it, I think it would just be such a laugh to watch the hysterical emotional meltdown. So we shall watch this space, Peter, with great interest.
I think Ian Bannon says, look, this is 6 to 9 months away until anything may happen if Musk does take it over. So nothing's going to happen soon. And Dave, for people like you and me, we want to put stories out today. So maybe in 9 months, it may be an option. But to us, that's irrelevant because we're looking at today, tomorrow, this week, next week. So
Absolutely. Yeah. This is just a soap opera. You know, it's like watching Coronation Street or Emmerdale, whatever. It's something to watch just for wry amusement. But in the meantime, the serious business of all the things that we've been chatting about and all the stuff you talk about in Hearts of Oak, Peter, with others, I mean, you know, that's what we need to be focused on. And we don't take this one too seriously. I mean, Steve Bannon's, he's pretty accurate in this one, I think, as well. And I'm not sure Elon Musk's a good guy. Like, I don't think that. But he's an eccentric. He sure as hell is eccentric. So I don't know. We'll see.
Status 77 wants to wind you up, David, and says, if David took over Twitter, he would kick Marcus Rashford off.
How can you say that? Me and my, if I ever get back in Twitter, I've already written my first tweet. It's in my head. And guess who it concerns? Yes, my bestie Marcus. And I'll be so happy to see him again because, you know, it's been a long time since we've spoken, but
well, in 9 months, watch this space, everyone. Over on to, let's touch on what's happening, Russia, Ukraine. Poor Finland. It's just as well it's not too cold at the moment. Russia cuts electricity to Finland. Moscow-run state energy company says it will stop supplying Helsinki tomorrow, which would be today, over payment issues amid tensions over NATO. And I was reading, I think they get, 10% of their electricity. Yeah. Someone said only 10%, but I mean, the UK only have an extra capacity of about 2%. So 10% is enough to screw your economy. So yeah, well, poor Finland.
It's big. Yeah, absolutely. People who say only 10% don't understand what this means is for, I mean, and I've done business in Finland. I understand Finland reasonably well. Manufacturing needs certainty of supply. If at any point in the 24-hour cycle, the grid's going to drop, that's a huge problem. But I mean, I have no sympathy for Finland at all. Finland, overseen by their prime minister, who's a World Economic Forum graduate, Saarinen, they're going into NATO, so they've succumbed to US and UK bullying, along with Sweden. I'm very sad about Sweden, not so sad about Finland. And in doing so, the provocation to Putin is incredible. I mean, anyone who looks at the map of Russia, you can see what NATO's doing, Peter. It's encircling the Russian bear. So is it any surprise, I ask you, that the Russian, for example, they cut off the electricity? The other thing is that Finland gets a lot of their gas from Russia as well. And there's lots of fine talk about, oh, don't worry, European solidarity, we'll get it elsewhere, or, you know, sorry. And also, Peter, you rightly and adroitly point out it's May in Finland now, May, June, it's the weather's not too bad. That country gets very, very cold come October, November, December. Those Finnish winters are, you know, very high latitude. I wonder how they'll be getting on then. But as I say, they're sacrificing themselves to accommodate Joe Biden and Boris Johnson's territorial aggressions over with using NATO and Ukraine as a pretext to try and take on Russia.
I think I also saw that Germany had supplies to Germany has fallen by 20%, and Germany absolutely rely. So if Russia slowly turns everything off, it's not as if you can just go to your neighbor and get more. Actually, everyone's in the same boat. So it'll be interesting to see first come, first serve. And Germany won't be saying, oh, we'll go without because poor Finland needs some. No. It'll be screw you. We want it first.
Germany has a significant, it's probably got the biggest heavy manufacturing industry of any European country. You know, car production companies, Mercedes, BMW, all of these companies, Porsche, who are manufacturing over there. They need the surety and guarantee of energy continuity. Mm. And that's why Germany's been so ambivalent on this one, definitely ambivalent, because it's not their interest to be dragged into, this kind of conflict in Ukraine. But, can you blame? I often say to people, well, listen, if you were in the Kremlin and you were in Putin's job, what would you do? And I would respond the same. I would be cutting off, energy, especially as he can sell it for a better price, probably to likes of India, the likes of Pakistan, the likes of China. There's a mark. You know, we mustn't look upon this, Peter, as people think it's the world against Ukraine. No, it's not. It's not. It's about 20 Western countries who are sort of all grandstanding in this one. Plus a few more, as we will discover when the Eurovision Song Contest comes to its conclusion tonight. But
are you going to give us a Are you not going to give us a rendition of the Ukrainian entry, David? Come on!
Not yet. I don't want to temper. Although I did say I've got a drinking game. I have got a drinking game. Everyone after this one, join me as we watch the Eurovision voting. And any country that doesn't give Ukraine 12 points, have a drink. Have a drink. You'd probably be very sober by the end of the day, mind you, because cast iron guarantee, the genuflecting, and again, the whole propagandizing, which seriously this is about Ukraine, will continue as the West hurtles over its economic cliff. Well, Cliff, what can you say?
I think Ukraine have already got 2,000 points at least. So
it's in the bag. Yeah.
It'll be wonders. Don't do the maths, anyone, because it doesn't make any sense. This was a mad situation, America, Biden go well together. So the U.S. House has passed a $40 billion military, economic, and humanitarian aid package for Ukraine. The bill was approved 368 votes to 57. And you said we have 57 patriots and 368 stooges. Yep. I mean, it's a crazy amount. Whenever they don't even have baby formula powder to actually get babies, they're sending $40 billion to another country that they've zero connections with. It's great.
There's a couple of points in that. The baby formula is being sent down to the southern border for the migrants, so it's being sent there, just not for Americans. But as to $40 billion, the bit that amazed me about this was somebody made this point to me, and it's a good point that is going for mostly for humanitarian purposes. And it's a huge amount of money because the weaponry that is being provided to Ukraine, that's being provided free of charge. It's not being sold to Ukraine. So this amount of money, which I think Israel gets, Peter, I think it's about $3 or $4 billion a year. So this is like a decade's equivalent of what Israel would get going to this most corrupt Ukrainian administration. And maybe that's why, fair enough, they do have to, have the facilities for Bono to put a concert on and host Dr. Jill Biden. And we've seen that swamp creature lizard, Mitch McConnell and others over there today for their photo shot with Zelensky. But $40 billion is a huge amount of money. I mean, is this the Biden regime deliberately bankrupting the U.S. economy? I don't know, but it feels a bit like that.
Let me take this off, and of course, everyone. You stopped very soon there, David. I wanted to finish on what you're doing, which is on the hard truth with Alana Mercer, because I've been impressed by certainly the viewing figures you're getting. Well, I looked on Rumble just, I don't know where else, but this here is one that you've done, and it is looking at the Azov Brigade, and you ask whether they're Nazi or just nationalist. Now, that's just one of the recent ones you've done, but it's, you're getting great traction with those conversations with Alana.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, there's a strange world of, Alana's based in Seattle, and as you know, I'm based here in Northern Ireland, and you know, we formed a kind of common friendship because we are, I guess, well, she's a paleo libertarian. If you've a great expression, a paleo libertarian. She was uber libertarian, and I'm kind of maverick. And so we have been doing this now for about 6 months. Alana's been writing Peter since she's a published columnist on a weekly basis for over 22 years. She's the author of several books, so she's a really interesting personality in her own regard, never mind me. And yeah, we have been putting out this Hard Truth. We also have it as a podcast as well, so you can listen to it as a podcast or you can watch it as a conversation. And we have got a series of forthcoming interviews with interesting people. For example, this one here that you've got up on screen, and we brought on a really good guy who's a Serbian American who writes for Russia Today, no less. And we were running questions past him, you know, in terms of, you know, it's a slightly controversial line, I suppose, you know, Nazis or nationalists. Spoiler alert, they're probably both, but they're definitely Nazis. They're definitely Nazis. Alana brings her perspectives and I bring my perspectives. And again, she's been denied mainstream media in the US. Yeah. And Alana comes from South Africa, so obviously of Jewish heritage as well herself. Her father was a rabbi. So really interesting person. And as you say, yeah, those little conversations are doing really well as we talk about things that, you know, if you look at some of her titles, I mean, it is it's challenging the orthodoxy. Let's put it like that. And that's what I enjoy. So, yeah, you should, people, hopefully folks maybe will you know, subscribe to Hard Truth, be it on Rumble or be it over on the Hard Truth podcast. And the links for all that, Peter, are below my billion podcasts that I do every other day.
Well, yeah, people, all the links are up there, certainly on Getter or Gab and elsewhere. So if you're following David, you can get it. David, thank you. It's been a wonderful 57 minutes that we've had together. Thank you so much for your time once again.
Yeah, always, it's always my pleasure. I mean, look, we had the FA Cup final earlier. Now we've got Hearts of Mind, Hearts of Oak, and now we go to Eurovision. I mean, what better way of spending your Saturday, I ask?
Absolutely. And let me leave on two posts that you'd put up. Here's one. At this point, either your blood is boiling or it's clotting. You can take your pick. Mine's certainly boiling, but it can be one or the other.
That's good one, yeah.
And there was this one, which is something I have really watching Amber Heard and Johnny Depp compared to this case, which was Ghislaine Maxwell. And there you go. The Ghislaine Maxwell trial is over. Why haven't there been any arrests of her clients? Because her clients are running the government. So true. So true. And there's nothing you can. There's
Can't top that. On that note, I depart the room, Peter, because you can't. That's so true. That's, and as you say, with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, it's all the same. It's look over here. Look over here. Don't look there. But we see them. We see them and we push on and we keep pushing it out.
Exactly. On that, thank you to our viewers for tuning in. Thank you to our listeners later for listening in. On Monday, we're going to get Tim Young over from the States. I had a good pre-record with him, I think, a day ago. Really good. It's always good whenever you have an interview with someone, haven't spoken to them before, and you finish and you think, that was good fun. So great chat with him about all politics stuff over in the States. I think we're going to do it at 9 because I believe Matthew Letizia is doing an interview, his first guest interview with Ricky Lambert. He used to play for Liverpool, but he's not it. So I certainly want to watch that, and it's great to see other people bring in and his line on COVID and bringing in other guests from within the football world. It's quite fascinating. So I'll be tuning into that at 8 o'clock on Monday. We'll put our video out with Tim Young at 9 o'clock, and you'll also be on, David, at 8 o'clock on Monday, won't you?
After that, I'm not sure. I seriously doubt it. I think I'll go out at midnight or something on Monday, on the off chance that no one else is actually putting content out. But who knows when I'll go out? I don't know.
Do 7:45 or 7:55 or just get in before Matt. No,
but Peter, it's good that guys like Matt Letizia are doing. I'm 100% supportive of him. He's doing so. He's very brave man. And, you know, hats off to him. And it's great to see him do these live streams. Yeah.
Completely. Well, on that, thank you to our viewers. Have a good rest of your Saturday evening. Enjoy your weekend. And we'll see you on Monday evening. So thank you so much and good night.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsofoak.org. Thank you for listening.